Good morning. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the people a prisoner whom they would. And when they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Who will you that I will release to you? Who do you desire that I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" For he knew for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down at the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two will you that I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate says to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" And they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now flip over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and reading in verse 32. And there were also two evildoers. Some of the Bibles say malefactors. There were two evildoers led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the evildoers, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his garment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding him, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If you be the king of the Jews, save yourself." And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the evildoers which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If you be the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Lord, will bless to us the reading of his word. I have a question for you. Have you ever been to prison? I've been there 5 times. Don't worry, I'm not dangerous. The first time I spent was right here in PI, 1911, Pizza Delight on St. Peter's Road. Actually, Edward McFadgen and I spent time there together. Got to know Edward pretty good there. And then I spent time in the Burnaby Youth Detention Center. And from there, I was moved to Mariona Maximum Security Prison in San Salvador, and then to the women's prison in Berlin, Zulatan, El Salvador. By now, I hope you figured out that I wasn't spending time serving time there, but I was actually sent by God to these places. And finally, the last place I visited was the maximum security prison in San Vicente, El Salvador. That's an interesting story because there, my friend Ken Reistad and I, we were visiting one of our Sunday school pupils. Imagine having one of these kids coming to your Sunday school class, and then Brother Jock saying, "Listen, hope you don't mind, but I'm going to ask you to go and visit Jesse DeVries in prison. Hope that never happens to you." Imagine, that's what it was like. We had to go and visit one of our Sunday school students. He's now a grown man. He was about 25 years of age. Him and his friend, they were out partying, and they picked up another guy that was unknown to them, and some strange things started happening in the car, and they started to fight in the middle of the car, and all of a sudden the car went off the road. And anyway, to make a long story short, they tried to do some damage to this other man that was doing some strange things to them, and he ended up in prison. And when I looked into his eyes, I saw fear in his eyes. There was terror. And I can go back to my first time visiting the Charlottetown jail here with Brother Edward. We were going to have Bible studies with a couple of young men that were incarcerated there. And when you first hear that slamming of the door behind you, that steel on steel, it's not a very nice sound. Just this last week, actually, if you can look it up on CNN, there were some students visiting a jail in some part of the United States. And one girl, she was sort of dragging her feet, sort of looking at this jail cell, interesting, and all of a sudden, somehow, the jail door slammed behind her, and she was locked into the prison. It was an abandoned prison. She was screaming. She wanted out. Today, our story revolves around a man by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas, I like to sometimes tell stories about men and women in the Bible that are maybe should be known, but they're not very well known. You know, there's actually 38 verses dedicated to Barabbas. I would say Judas Iscariot is more well known, but there's only 32 verses related to Judas Iscariot. God has a lesson for us, and this is what he does. Various times he will take a person out. Because Judas is that unique individual, the first person ever that was able to say, "Jesus died for me. Jesus died in my place." In this story, we have various individuals. We have Judas. We have a man by the name of Pontius Pilate, the governor of Rome. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning of this story. The story starts out with a flat-nosed convict sitting on death row, sitting on a dirt floor. Maybe he was playing tic-tac-toe on the floor of that cell, just biding his time. He hears a group of soldiers approaching. He hears the rattling of keys on the cell next to him. And then he hears a prisoner being hauled from that cell, screaming, terrified, and the soldier saying, "You're on your way to Mount Calvary." Some people called it Golgotha, the place of the skull, where men would be taken and nailed to a cross, and there they would suffer and bleed and die. A painful, painful, excruciating death. As a matter of fact, that word excruciating is a Bible word. You take the two parts of that word, ex, it means out of, and then crux, the cross, out of the cross. The pain that proceeded from that cross as men were taken and they were nailed to a board. One soldier would grab their arm and hold it down, and the other one would take a nail and a hammer and he would drive it through. And I don't doubt at times they would miss as they hit that nail, like I've done when I've been carpentering. And they could hit his hand and his fingers. And then they would nail that hand. And then they would nail that hand. And then they would raise him up and they would nail his feet to that cross. And this is what this prisoner was envisioning as he was screaming in his cell. And then Barabbas hears the rattling of the door on the other side of him. And another prisoner is grabbed by the soldiers. But this prisoner is a little bit different. He had no fear of God nor men. Take me, I'm not afraid to die. Do what you want unto me. And they grabbed him and they took him out and they marched him up Calvary's hill. Probably these men were partners in crime of Barabbas. Why do I say that? Because Mark tells us Barabbas lay bound with them that were involved in the riot, in the revolt, in the insurrection. And then deathly silence. Barabbas is sitting there all alone. And sometimes the waiting is worse. They tell me that when someone is on death row and they're going out to their death, if it's by hanging, they tell me that people, they can't keep their hands off their throat. They tell me that if a man is going to be going to the gas chamber, the guards will tell us that these people, they practice holding their breath because they know what's coming. And no doubt, as Barabbas sat in that cell, many times he'd walked into that room, that road into Jerusalem, and he would look up there and see Calvary's Hill, and he would see men being crucified, and he would hear the screams. But he never thought it would be him. You know, there's a lot of people in here today that read the obituary every morning. As soon as they get that newspaper, they don't look at the headlines, they flip at the back and they find the obituary. And they look at all the names. I know him. And I've never been to a place like PEI where people love going to wakes. Isn't that right, Brother Jock? People love it. They go, this is like a party for them. And something strange I always hear them saying too, man, he sure looks good. They look into the casket, he looks great. They don't seem to fear death. Listen, one day it's going to be your name in that obituary column. And no matter what they say about you, they can say how good you look, how young you look, doesn't have a wrinkle, doesn't have a gray hair. Listen, you're gone. You're in one place or the other. No matter what they say, no matter what happens the next day when they take that casket out and they take it to the church and they put it up front and the preacher's up there, no matter what he says, it's already determined. My Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But it also says, the rich man died. And he opened his eyes in hell. Yes, the body was in the casket. but he opened his eyes in hell. The deathly silence. He's waiting, thinking about all the things he did in his life, thinking he would never be caught. He was put in prison for committing a murder. He was a thief. He deserved death, and he knew it. The government knew it. The soldiers knew it. My Bible says he was a notable criminal. But the soldiers come to his cell, and they open up the door. And they take Barabbas. And instead of leading him up the road to Calvary's Hill, they're leading him in a different direction. He doesn't know what's happening. And finally, they start leading towards Pilate's judgment hall. He hears a lot of shouting. Shouting for blood, shouting for death. He hears the words, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he thinks they're talking about him as he approaches that mob. When he was a young man, he had all life ahead of him. And never for once did he think that he'd be the man that'd be taken. Listen, my friend, you're sitting here this morning. You haven't contemplated death. You haven't contemplated how you die. Last night, my wife and I, we were lying in bed and we were praying for our son as he was out on the roads. They're icy roads. They're dangerous roads. We pray for our daughter. We pray for Rachel, that's a good driver, pays attention. This is very important. We value the life of our children. But listen, one by one, their seats were empty. One by one, they went away. One by one, they departed. Will that family be together one day? This is our prayer. As we look out in the audience, we see some familiar faces. And when we look at you, when I look at you, I have a question mark over your head. Because I don't know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have actually had a time in your life when you've taken him as your personal Savior, if you're the one that says, "Yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that I, like Barabbas, deserve to be punished." While all this shouting is going on, he looks up and he stands and he sees the Roman governor Pontius Pilate standing on this raised platform. And motioning the soldiers, "Bringing him up here, bring him up here." And as he gets up further, he sees Pilate. And he looks on Pilate's right hand and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's standing there with a robe and a crown of thorns. And he's been beaten. He's bloody. And he hears the people crying out, "Crucify him." And then Barabbas comes up and he stands on the other side. And there was a custom at the Passover season that one criminal would be released. You know, down in the United States, they have a tradition when the president is going out, when he's leaving office, he commutes all these sentences. He looks in the books and he says, "Okay, you're free, you're free, you're free." And this is what it was like, but only one a year. This was Good Friday. You know, the only person it was good for, ended up being Barabbas. Jesus was crucified. The two thieves were crucified. The soldiers crucified an innocent man. And here we have Barabbas standing. And another interesting thing takes place. As he's standing there, Pilate says, "Which of these men do you want me to release unto you? Jesus, which is called the Christ, or Barabbas?" And it says, he knew for envy that they had delivered unto him Jesus. He was not guilty. He was innocent. He would say, "I find no fault in this man. Nothing. He has done nothing wrong." But for envy, because he was so popular, the Jews hated him. When the Jews brought him, do you remember what the charge was? It was blasphemy for saying that he was God. "You being a man, make yourself God." And the high priest, he ripped his clothes in two in anger. And they couldn't get up to see Pilate. Why? Because even though the Jews were a conquered people, they had a lot of freedom. They could try a man for his crimes. They could sentence a man. But they were not allowed to execute judgment if it was death. And they were calling for death. They wanted Jesus dead. So now we have this predicament. Jesus stands before them. And he has, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Have you ever asked yourself that question? How about here on this side? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Are you up in the balcony? Have you ever asked yourself the question, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Would you take him as your Savior? Or will you turn your back upon him? Will you reject him? And while he's there, Pilate or Barabbas notice a servant approaching. And he's got a piece of paper in his hands. And he's trying to get Pilate's attention. And Pilate is in the middle of this dilemma. "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And the servant finally gets his attention. He says, "I have a note here from your wife." Sounds like they had a pretty good relationship, doesn't it? There was communication. And she had something upon her heart. And Pilate was like, "I don't have time for that. Just read it out. What does it say?" "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." And now Pilate is starting to think even more. "God sent my wife a dream warning me not to harm Jesus, and the people are crying out for his blood. They're saying, 'Away with him, away with him. We'll not have this man rule over us.'" And Pilate is weighing it all up. And then he hears the people say, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." So he's in a real dilemma as he weighs this up. "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" 40 years ago, my mother was in a tent meeting in Hampshire. Gospel tent, set up in the middle of a country field. Two preachers gather there. They set up a whole bunch of chairs in the middle of the lawn or in the middle of the cow pasture. They put a loudspeaker there. And the people come in and listen. They put up a big sign, "Preaching peace by Jesus Christ." And people are interested in their souls. Maybe you're just sitting there and I've heard all this before. But people go in and they listen. And that was the message one day. "What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" You know what my mother said after listening to these men night after night? She says, "I'm going to take him home with me." You know, Friday was Friday the 13th. For her, it was August Friday the 13th, when she says, I'm going to take Jesus home with me. Would you consider doing that this morning? Would you say, I want Jesus. Let Barabbas go, but I want Jesus for my Savior. Pilate gets to a stage where he calls one of the servants over. He had sent him to Herod trying to wash his hands of Jesus. Herod sent him back, I find no fault in this man either. So he takes a pail of water and he washes his hands. And he says, his blood be upon you. I'm not guilty of the death of this man. And they said, no problem. We'll be guilty. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That's how hard-hearted some people are. They don't realize. I want to think about some lessons just about this man. Barabbas was notorious. If you mentioned his name, people would say, yeah, I know him. He was the type of guy that if he came into your home here in 2017 and your telephone was sitting there on the table, Barabbas would go and he'd have that in his pocket before you could blink an eye. If he's walking down the street at night and he saw you as a young lady, he would have no problem pulling you into the alley. He would have no problem knocking you over the head and stealing your wallet, to the point that he killed a man. But you know, the Jews, they actually looked at him as sort of a hero. We look at him as evil because of his sinful life. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's the sixth commandment. Barabbas broke it. Thou shalt not steal. That's the seventh commandment. Barabbas broke it. He was a violent man that took things. But every dog has its day. And Barabbas is apprehended. He's brought to justice. Dr. Lewis Spirish Chafer says there are 33 words in our New Testament to describe sin in its various aspects. We're not going to look at them all. But I want to describe a couple of them to you. Sin, missing the mark. They show the man with the arrow, bow and arrow, and shooting for that clock back there, and the arrow not reaching, falling short. And then transgression, overstepping the boundary, going too far. And then error, just simply going astray. We have GPSs in our cars and we still go astray. And then trespass, my will over God's will. I already mentioned, God says, thou shalt not steal. And you see that cell phone and you put it in your pocket. I can't afford a cell phone, so I want a cell phone. I want an iPhone. I have one of these little flip phones. I'd like one of those fancy iPhones that the kids have. Sin in the heart. And then lawlessness, a total disregard for God's law, for man's law, and then unbelief. Four facts we see about Barabbas. First of all, Barabbas deserved to be in that jail. Second fact, Barabbas did not deserve to be set free. Pilate released him. He let him go. You know, there was a movie back in 1961, I remembered. I was a little boy when I saw it. Anthony Quinn was Barabbas. Remember that movie? Some of you older brothers and sisters probably remember that. And here's Barabbas, and he's watching the crucifixion. And he can't believe that the disciples don't even go and try to protect their Savior, their friend. And we see him in a drunken stupor. He goes back to his old ways. He's free, but he goes back to his old ways. That's not salvation. The third fact, we see that Jesus died on the cross in his place. There were three wooden crosses that day. The fourth fact, and we don't know the answer to this, what did Barabbas do when he was set free? Did he go up to Mount Calvary? Did he look at that man on that center cross and say, he's dying for me? Getting back to this idea of sin, the Bible says, for all have sinned. First row, second row, third row, fourth row, all the way to the back, all the way down the side. For all have sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God is going to punish sin. I want to think of some examples of sin. Maybe you're still not getting it. Maybe you see the guy next to you as a sinner, the girl next to you as a sinner, but it doesn't touch your heart. You don't feel like you have any danger taking the name of the Lord. I've never heard so much swearing as I have in Prince Edward Island. That's not something to be congratulated on, I'll tell you that. I've never heard such swearing in all my days. They say if you go to Ireland, it's even worse, because I've met a few Irishmen. Stealing, lying, physical or sexual abuse, cheating on exams, deception, deliberate acts of violence against other people. Have you ever heard of anybody having a girlfriend or boyfriend and they're in a relationship? They would say, we're going steady, if they still use that term. I don't think they probably do. And all of a sudden, the girl has found that she has another guy that she likes better than the guy she's with. So she starts sort of like sending texts and instant messages and stuff like that. And the guy, he's receiving all these nice flowery messages. He's happy. He doesn't think about the girl's boyfriend or the boy that's doing that to the girl. There's a song, country on the country radio station, get rid of him. Just drop him. You know you don't love him. Just come to me. That's the way of the world. There's no fidelity. There's no faithfulness. So unfaithfulness is a sin. You don't think it's hurting anybody because it's sort of a silent sin. But God judges that as a sin. It's very real. Last week there was a man that flew from Alaska to Minneapolis to Florida. He had one piece of baggage. He went to the carousel and got that one piece of baggage, and then he went to the washroom, like many people do. And he walks out of the washroom, and he has a handgun with two cartridges. And he starts shooting randomly. Five people dead, eight people injured. They saw the man. They captured him. He's lying down. He's got handcuffs on him. They hid lines in the paper the next day. The suspected gunman. How does that work? The suspected, they saw him. They didn't have to chase him out of the airport and capture him. They saw him. They have evidence, all these eyewitnesses. Listen, God sees everything that you do. You're on his camera. There's no escape. And then we look at Barabbas. He was justly charged. He was justly convicted. He was justly condemned. And then flip forward to our time that we're living in. We're living in a time of suspended census. There's no suspended census in heaven. There's no plea bargains. You don't have a lawyer there saying, well, listen, Justin was a really good guy. You know, he's done a lot. He used to be a Cub Scout. He used to be a leader. He used to teach swimming lessons. He used to volunteer to coach hockey to the little kids that could hardly skate. Doesn't work that way. No suspended census, no plea bargain, and no time off for good behavior. What a contrast to today's judicial system. The second thing that we can see about this man, Barabbas, the majority of the people wanted Jesus to be crucified. So if you think there's safety in numbers, if you think because you're with the majority think that you don't get to heaven by your narrow way of trusting Jesus as your Savior. Some people have this idea, well, if I'm good enough, if I just go to church once in a while, people will be satisfied, God will be satisfied with me. I was thinking about these other men on the cross, but we'll leave that for another time. I just want to think about, there was a tribal African chief. He came to see a missionary one day. And you know the pictures you've seen in National Geographic with all their face paint on and the costumes they have on. And he goes over to the missionary's humble little dwelling. This was years ago. And on the tree, there's hanging a mirror, probably where the missionary shaved every morning. So when the tribal chief, he goes over and he sees that mirror on the tree and he looks in it, not seeing a mirror before, he jumps back. And he goes to the missionary, who was that ugly man in that tree, living in the tree, looking at me? And the missionary explained, well, there's nobody living in the tree. That was actually you. No, I'm here. There was a man in the tree. So finally explains them to him, it's a mirror. And the tribal chief, he wants to buy it. Well, listen, he's in the middle of Africa. I can't get another mirror. I need this mirror. Finally, they came to a price. He didn't want his head taken off either. He finally agreed to sell him this mirror for a price. So as soon as that tribal chief got that mirror, he threw it on the ground and he jumped up and down on top of it and smashed into 1,000 pieces. So why am I telling you the story? Because that's what a lot of us do when we come face to face with the truth. We do not want the truth. The Bible is saying the wages of sin is death. You're destined to die. You're condemned, just like Barabbas was in that cell. He was on his way to be crucified, but another took his place. Can you realize that? That's the precious truth. That's the truth of Good Friday that Barabbas came into. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What have you done with him? Maybe not today. Maybe last week. Maybe last month. Maybe last year. I can say, I took him as my Savior. I have my sins forgiven. I know it is well with my soul. So I commend him to you this morning. Trust Jesus as the one that died on Calvary's cross to wash away all your sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He that believes in him has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the gospel message that means good news. Father, we're thankful the good news that it was on Good Friday that Barabbas could say, Jesus died in my place. Jesus died for me so that I don't have to die. Father, we're thankful for eternal life that we have through trusting in Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He is coming again. We're thankful that those that know Him will be caught up together in the clouds, and they shall be ever with the Lord. But those that don't know Him shall be left behind. There'll be a great tribulation, a time of judgment, a time of chaos, a time when men's hearts will be failing them for fear. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, if there's any here today that are still contemplating making that decision, let them say, yes, I will take Jesus home with me today as my Savior in my heart. Amen.